Richardson, the running back. They give it to him over the right side. Dives. He's in. Touchdown. Trent Richardson. Weaver looking right corner of the end zone. Throws. Touchdown. Jordan Cameron. What a beautiful throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Reading the throw. He's going to go long. Looking long for Gordon. He's out there. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown. No doubt about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagora, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on a football Wednesday. Getting ready for tomorrow night. The Browns end this thing called the preseason in Chicago, and Nathan Zagora is doing his best Hulkster now. Do that. That was good.
Well, that's the Macho Man. Yeah,
the, or the Macho Man. I'm sorry.
WKNR wants the Hulkster when they need the Macho Man, the madness. Yeah, because the Cleveland Browns are going straight to the top just like the Macho Man did back at WrestleMania 4. Dig it. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's really good. In fact, I would rather you just stay in that voice for the entire show.
You know, I am liking what I'm seeing from Trent Richardson. He's got the biceps, the guns, brother. Yeah, and you know what I'm talking about? Trent Richardson, he's down 15 pounds. Yeah, getting primed ready, yeah, for a big season of running the football for the Cleveland Browns, notorious. Yeah.
Macho Nathan Zagora joining us here. And Bernie Kosar is going to be with us, by the way, in this hour. And we'll also hear from Brad Biggs. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, so we'll get some Bears knowledge, talk a little bit about Jay Cutler. Interesting team there. Interesting kind of day or days going on around the Browns because cuts happened yesterday to get this team down to 75. No surprises. I mean, nothing blew us away, right? We knew pretty much who everyone on that list was, pretty much guys that we put on our likely lists.
Yeah, nothing surprising there for the Cleveland Browns. I think it'll be interesting to see how the final roster is composed, how many receivers they decide to keep. You know, they brought in a new punter now. That is an interesting development, I think, to me. The special teams battle still going on, obviously, kicker and the punter position. So nothing surprising, as you pointed out, nothing crazy, but certainly an interesting a few changes here with the team, bringing in another linebacker, bringing in a kicker, a punter, and we'll be interested to see how that all ends up playing out here, because pretty soon we're going to be at 53 men. We're going to be ready for September 8th and real football, Vic.
The most notable name was Owen Marisak, who'd been the fullback on this team the last 2 years. So for ClevelandBrowns.com, I wrote a column and got a lot of feedback on this. I just call it the new...
It's a good column.
Well, that's nice of you to say. The new breed of fullback. The new breed of fullback and defining Chris Obanaya as that guy. As a guy who, first of all, wasn't sort of born and bred to be a fullback in the NFL, a running back. And, you know, he's got the decent size dimension at 6 foot and 225. He's definitely added some muscle, upper body strength. But the real key here is that he's not that stiff, battering ram, blocking kind of guy that the fullback once was. And in this Rob Chudzinski, North Turner offense, that guy doesn't have a role anymore. It's a guy who's got to be nimble. He's got to be able to pick up the blitz as much as anything, certainly help block for the run, the standard things that fullbacks do, but catch the ball well and contribute on special teams. And think about this. The standard old-school fullback was not a special teams contributor. For as little as that guy contributes as a regular position player, he can't afford not to be a big contributor on teams, and that's another reason they like Chris Obanaya.
Yeah, Chris Obanaya, very versatile. He can run it. He can catch it. He's gotten bigger, as you pointed out, so that he can block. Remember, Mike Tolbert, I'm going to pull this name out for people. Mike Tolbert in Norv Turner's offense in the years 2010 and 2011 caught 79 passes for 649 yards and 2 touchdowns. 79 passes caught by the quote-unquote fullback in that offense for North Turner. So I think Chris Obanaya is a guy who fits that mold where he can do a little bit of blocking, but his value as a pass protector and his value as a receiver is very, very important and part of the new breed. Because at this point, when you want to spread teams out, there are going to be many cases where they're going to go with one running back. There are going to be a lot of cases where they go with two and then via motion end up with only one running back in the backfield. We've seen that quite a bit, actually, where Trent and Obanaya would be in the backfield. They motion Trent out of the backfield. Now, Obanai is the lone back in there. Now he can run routes, he can pass protect, he can do a lot of things. So I think it's the versatility of that position and wasting a spot on a guy who can really just be a glorified blocker. That's in the past of the NFL. That's not in today's NFL. And I think that's why Chris Obanai is going to play a very nice role for this football team.
Joining our conversation now is very much a regular on the show, and you'll hear him tomorrow night on KYC's television coverage of the game with Jim Donovan, the one and only Bernie Kosar.
Hey, guys.
How you
Bernie.
Doing?
Bernie. I'm doing good. I'm making sure I'm not late for the flight today. I figure if I hang with you guys, I'm in the right time.
Well, you'll have an excuse that probably won't matter to anybody, but at least you're close enough to the airport, and
right.
this will all work out well for the flight to Chicago. We were just talking about the fullback position, and with Owen Marisic being released yesterday, not a shock there, but the idea that this opens up the door to talk about really the new breed of fullback and what Chris Obanaya has evolved into for this team, converted from a running back. Bernie, you've been part of this game and have seen it played where the fullback was that traditional battering ram. Not so much anymore.
Well, not so much anymore. And, you know, the fullback, like even with Owen Marisic, he was supposed to be, you know, an integral part of the special teams. In that long punt return the other day from Indianapolis, he had an opportunity to make the tackle. It didn't materialize. Guys that are on the bubble in that from going from 90 to 75, which happened by Tuesday, by going to 53, which happens over this weekend, that last about 45% of your team is released in this given week. Those guys like the fullback position as the game's evolving back in the 80s, 90s, even early 2000, especially with Chud's type offense and Coach Turner, that fullback, a.k.a. Moose Johnson, was an integral part of leading up through on the running game. That's still a part of it, but to your points, the game is evolving, and just to have a spot just for that now, most teams don't have it.
Right.
The ones that do, you need to be successful contribute from the special teams perspective. So if you're not contributing from the special teams, just being a lead blocker in short yards and goal line or sporadically on first and 10 tends to not work out. So you better, if you are that position, you better be able to contribute in other ways. And Obanaya, with his ability to run the H-back, to motion, to have good hands, to catch routes, actually, I think really helps his chance of being part of the 53-man roster.
Agreed. And you look at, like I said earlier, Mike Tolbert in this offense of Norv Turner caught 79 passes as a quote-unquote fullback in a two-year stretch in 2010 and 2011. I think it's Obanaya's versatility, the fact that he was a former running back, has bulked up to kind of play this hybrid fullback role and help out on special teams, catch the ball, run the ball when need to, be able to go in motion and do things that maybe traditional fullbacks can't, is why he's going to be here. And I think it's a guarantee that he's going to be on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the other part of this conversation, as we talk about the backfield, is what the depth will be there. Do we think there's still a need for this team to pursue running back help as other teams start to cut players? You know how I feel about Brandon Jackson. I think he's established a solid enough presence as a number two back in this offense to be fine. Do they have to try to find a Deion Lewis replacement somewhere?
Well, I don't think those grow on trees, unfortunately.
No, exactly. That's what I mean. I know there's a rare quality there, but do you need to get, you know, that more specialized kind of guy?
Well, we wish they grew on trees, and you wish that opportunity came up. Just like the Cleveland Browns, we are deep at the defensive line position. There's guys there that, you know, you could probably go seven or eight deep in terms of guys that for sure should be in the league on the team. Other teams may have that depth at running back. In the short run, though, of picking up a guy who is going to be that backup tailback position, in the short run, learning the terminology, learning the system, being able to really produce. If Trent Richardson stays healthy and he's can be a every down back,
sure,
including third down,
yeah,
you know, you may want to go out there and take a chance on somebody if they really jump up and catch you. But in terms of learning the system and putting somebody in there at that position, not as much in terms of running the ball, but if he has to play and he has to do pass protection, blitz pickup in the passing game. Trent Richardson did a phenomenal job in the Indy game of picking up a couple blitzes.
He did.
Forget the running. Forget his ability to run the ball. He did some blocking on blitzing linebackers in that game. It was incredibly impressive. And now if you pick up somebody on the waiver wire and bring him in here, and he doesn't know the system is good, doesn't know the terminology, doesn't know the protections, and you're going to ask him to have to pick up blitzes in the passing game, we could end up getting a quarterback hurt or somebody hurt because of a missed assignment, because there's going to be a point in time where it takes for someone to come in and actually learn this terminology, because it's not the easiest offense to learn overnight.
Yeah, I think the one guy that I would keep my eye on, and I know he's not a young guy, so I don't know if he fits the mindset, but he would be able to step into this offense, know what to do, and it's a guy who caught 49 passes for 371 yards last year, is Ronnie Brown, because the San Diego Chargers brought in Danny Woodhead to be that pass-catching running back for their team. They've got Ryan Matthews. I don't think they necessarily need to keep Ronnie Brown around, and, you know, Ronnie Brown, not a spring chicken at this point, but if you needed a veteran who could step in and know Norv Turner's offense like the back of his hand to be a pass-catching running back, he's a possibility.
That's a fair thought.
I paid attention to him a lot down in South Florida. Yeah. And again, to your point, those type of guys who have experience within the system, you're right on. They would have a higher propensity towards maybe getting the opportunity to play because they've been in the system.
Right.
The learning curve of the terminology wouldn't be as extensive, and he'd be able to step in. I think, though, probably in terms of, unless it's really desperate and something happens in the game this Thursday's game at the backup position, unless you're really desperate, you tend to probably look for younger guys in this waiver wire. If you're that team that's maybe a piece or two away from the
right.
Super Bowl, maybe you add the veteran guy. But again, somebody like that in terms of the short run, and remember, there's that with the salary cap, a veteran guy to be on the team week one, then means that whole salary is guaranteed the whole year in terms of salary cap purposes. So there's a lot that goes into that. But knowing the offense is definitely a help for that.
Yeah, it could be like a one-year on, bring him in on the minimum if he gets released, and you know you have Deion Lewis coming back next year off of the IR.
I just get the sense, just the way...
I don't think he's coming to this organization.
No, but I mean, I get the sense the way that Mike Lombardi, Joe Banner, the way they're operating, and this is a very much... And I'm not saying that 31 other teams aren't thinking this way, but it seems particularly true with this group that it's a fluid approach here, very fluid with regard to the roster, that I think there are some teams that might mostly have more of the spots predetermined or determined when they brought their 90 to camp. By no means is the approach like that here. I think they're going about it really studying who else from other teams that are going to get waived that could be better here. Now, I think at this phase of cuts, it's more role players, Bernie, right, than guys who upgrade you a whole lot at a position.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've all talked about this on the air and off the air throughout the course of the offseason, OTAs, mini camps, training camps, that it's imperative for the younger players to not think they have a gifted, secure roster spot. I mean, when a new organization comes in, typically they're looking at replenishing the personnel and working at that 53-man roster. So, and I think our organization is looking at that even more so than probably before, because when you're winning 4 and 5 games a year, no matter how high your draft pick is, you can't have security. I mean, that's why
right.
you have a turnover. That's why you have a change in coaching staff, because the previous regime was not winning. So any player that feels secure because they were possibly a starter in the past or a higher pick, they shouldn't have that security with them, because they are switching with again, a new organization. And you're right. You typically tend to find either role players or guys that aren't maybe ready to play yet, but maybe have that upside potential if you could keep them as part of your 53 or put them on the practice squad.
So Rob Chudzinski had kind of raised some eyebrows, had some people buzzing a little bit earlier in the week when he said, you know, I'm thinking about the starters playing in this game against the Chicago Bears. And I think a lot of us were saying, okay, this sounds like a head coach maybe sending a little bit of a message, not happy with the way the team played Saturday night, and maybe, and I'm not going to say true punishment, but maybe a sense of, you know what, let's get the stink off of Saturday night's game by having a good starters series against the Bears in this finale. Well, the fact of the matter is that the majority of the starters are not going to play. What they're going to do is O'Neal Cousins, first of all, Brandon Whedon isn't going to start at quarterback. Jason Campbell will do that. He had an illness that he sat out yesterday, but looks like he'll be well enough to start. O'Neal Cousins will be there at guard. Billy Winn will play on the defensive line. Quinton Groves, outside linebacker. Josh Gordon, Travis Benjamin, they're going to play. As I said, Campbell starts. Spencer Lanning and Colton Schmidt, who's the new punter and kicker, they're going to alternate punting. Schmidt is going to be the holder. And so it played out, I think, the way a lot of us thought. This was a little bit of a psych game. Yes, good. And thrilled that we don't have to worry about guys getting hurt. But, Bernie, your thoughts on how it's playing out with the
Well, Marty Schottenheimer used to have this phrase, and he'd say the game most quickly forgotten is the last preseason game. And you want to get into the game and get out of the game
right.
without any injuries. It's been well talked about, well documented, the issues that happened at the guard position, at the backup running back position, areas of depth because of injuries ended up being now areas that we're probably a little thin at. Mm-hmm. You don't want to add to those areas of being thin in this last game. The magnitude of September 8th, typically, you know, any team wants to start out positive. There's been a lot of talk going towards that. But even more so, I think, with our young team, you want to be ready to go on September 8th. And the Chicago Bear game, albeit you'd like to have some success, that game will be quickly forgotten, trying to get down to the roster and sure. juggling with that, and then gearing towards the Dolphins. So there's absolutely no way I think we want to risk any injuries.
I could not agree anymore. We talked about it yesterday, and the way I summed it up was there is no long-term positive that can possibly come out of the right. fourth preseason game. There are significant long-term negatives that could come out of the fourth preseason game. So I'm happy that this is the way it went. I also like that, you know, not necessarily playing a game, but got people to practice as if they were going to play, had them preparing as though they might play. Now they don't have to play. That's good. And they can all turn the attention to September 8th.
Hey, what did DeQuell Jackson call Rob Chudzinski? A good leader of men.
That's right.
So that this could be one of the first steps, I'm sure, not the first, but among many that indicate that to be true. All right, we're just getting started here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got Bernie Kosar in the house. We'll keep him around for another segment before he has to go catch the team plane to Chicago. And he'll be part of the broadcast tomorrow night on WKYC Channel 3 with Jim Donovan doing the play-by-play. Want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. You can also call us or tweet us. If you're going to call us, you can also tweet us at Browns_daily. It's Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Bernie in the house on ESPN 850 WKNR.